Okay, let's take our Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. One of the keys to the word's interpretation that is important to employ is to understand the different administrations in the Word of God. And an administration is a period of time in the Bible that has certain rules, certain standards, certain aspects of God's Word that deals with that period of time. And you can read back in Genesis chapters 1 and 2 about the standards that were set during the original administration in paradise. Remember, Adam and the woman were instructed that of every tree of the garden they may freely eat, but of this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. There's nothing that I know of in our current day and time that deals with what trees we're supposed to be eating or not eating. Adam and the woman in paradise were naked, the Word of God declares. I'm glad to see that all of you wore clothes to this particular fellowship. It would be a different kind of fellowship if we thought we were in paradise or something. But when Adam and the woman sinned against God, paradise was lost, the administration changed. And from the time of Adam up until the time of Moses, we would call that time the time of the patriarchs, where men of God with the Spirit of God had extended families, and God worked with those men of God in those families. And then God instituted a very unique relationship with the children of Israel when he gave the law to Moses. And that began a new administration in the relationship of God and man, the law administration. We know that when Jesus Christ came, that he took all the law of Moses and he boiled it down into two, remember? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? The Christ administration. But since the day of Pentecost, there has been a new era, a new time period. And that period of time in the Word of God is called the administration of the mystery. It's called the administration of the grace of God. What came on the day of Pentecost was the new birth. The law of Moses was over with. Christ had come, and now anyone who wills can get born again of God's Spirit. It's the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery. Now, this period of time will end with the events that we just looked at in our opening hour. The last event of the grace administration is the gathering together of the church. The gathering together of the church is also the first event of the next administration. The next administration is characterized by the return of Jesus Christ. It can be understood as the appearing administration. Why? Because Jesus Christ will be reappearing. Jesus Christ is coming back. The first event of that administration is his return upon a cloud and us meeting the Lord in the air, the gathering together of the church. That is also the first event of the next administration. And the next administration is going to be vastly different than this administration. What we're going to do tonight in our second hours, we're going to look at some of what the Word of God teaches us about the next administration, the sixth administration in the Word of God, the appearing administration, the events of the book of Revelation, and what is recorded here in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 10. It says that in the dispensation, the word dispensation, oikonomia, means what? administration. That in the administration of the fullness of times, He, God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now, some have read this verse and thought that it solely describes the gathering together. And the reason people have thought that is because of the use of the word gather together. But remember, this is talking about an administration. An administration is more than one event. It's a whole period of time. It says that in the administration of the fullness of times, God might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. The gathering together is the first event of that administration. And in the gathering together, what's going to be gathered together in Christ? Those Christians who have died, and we which are alive and remain, the church. But the next administration is more than the gathering together. That's just the start. Because in the next administration, which is here, is called the administration of the fullness of times, everything is going to be brought to Christ. And here it says, things which are in heaven and things which are where? On earth. Heaven, spiritual realm, things on earth, human realm. This administration is also described in Acts chapter... Well, let's go to Philippians while we're here. Philippians chapter 2. See, if you're going to rightly divide God's word, you got to get administrations right. We'll read another section of Scripture that you're probably very familiar with, but let's remember to consider administrations. Philippians chapter 2, in verse 10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should what? Bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things where? Under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Will these two verses be fulfilled in entirety in this administration? No. During the grace administration, is every tongue going to confess Jesus is Lord? No. Is everything going to be brought to Christ? Things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth? See, when it says things in heaven, we had that earlier in Ephesians, spiritual realm. Things in earth, human realm. Here it adds a third thing to it, things under the earth. What's that talking about? Dead. The dead. See, things under the earth. See, in the next administration, everything is going to be brought to Christ. Everything in the spiritual realm, everything in the human realm, and everything that has died. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 3. You know, actually, it's rather remarkable. We're not doing a full study of this tonight. It's a little beyond the scope of a night in the Word, but it's rather remarkable in the material that is addressed to us, church epistles, how much reference there is to events of the next administration. And we are going to spend a little time tonight looking at the book of Revelation. And I know the book of Revelation can be difficult. It's addressed to a group of people that is still future, not us now. But there's a lot of stuff in the church epistles that is addressed to us now that pertains to the next administration. And that stuff we can understand now. Like Ephesians 1:10, like Philippians 2:10-11. See how those verses also fit with Acts chapter 3. In verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of" who? the Lord. Is Jesus Christ personally present now in the grace administration? No. He will be present in the clouds when he returns to gather the church. And then later, as we'll see in the events of the book of Revelation, he'll be present upon earth again. But it says, repent ye therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was what? Preached unto you. Whom the heaven must receive. Hey, where is Jesus Christ right now? He's in heaven. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of how many things? All things. You know, if you want to be really biblically accurate, which is a good thing, we could call the next administration the administration of the fullness of times. That's what Ephesians 1 calls it. Here, we could call the next administration the times of restitution of all things. Until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The word restitution, a wonderful definition of the word restitution, is a return to the rightful owner. You know who's the rightful owner of the human race? God. You know, he's the one that initiated the human race. You know, the human race has been separated from God by sin and the works of the adversary and, you know, all the things that the Bible teaches us. But in the next administration, there will be a return of the human race to its rightful owner. Isn't that wonderful? The word restitution also means the act of making good. See, in the next administration, everything's going to be made good. Everything's going to be made right. It's going to be a return to the former condition. Remember, there was once paradise. There was once perfection. There was once a perfect relationship in the spiritual realm with God. Well, everything in the next administration is going to be set right. Now, stop and think about the events of the gathering together. Everything will be made from right for us as members of the church at the time of the gathering together. What's one thing? Let me see a hand. What's one thing with the gathering together that's going to be made right for everybody who's in the church of God? New bodies. I didn't see a hand, but that's right. New hands. New bodies. New hands. What else is going to be made right? New minds. 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to know even as we are known. Can you think of something else?
Eternal life.
Yeah, eternal life will be manifest, right? New bodies. New minds. How about getting out of this present evil world? You know, to be forever with the Lord, what the Word of God declares. See, everything's set right for the church. Yeah, Joy?
In Romans, it talks about the creation being brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
Right. Now, see, some of that deals with things after the gathering together as well. But for the church, and this is the beginning of the next administration, things will be made right with the gathering together. Part of that is the Bema, where everything's going to come to light and all the junk is going to be burnt up. Then every one of us will have praise of God, including rewards. Okay? You see that? Time of restitution of all things for the church at the gathering together. But let's remember that when we leave, there's going to be people still present upon the earth. This is what begins the revelation period. You know, in the book of Philippians, we as children of God are called the lights of this world. And we are. You know that? We're the lights of this world. You know, we represent God here upon earth. You know, having Billy Young here. You know, periodically I go visit Billy and Heidi and the saints in Las Vegas. Las Vegas, Nevada is an evil place. I mean, you know, who are you kidding? It's an evil place. Not that the whole world isn't an evil place, but there's a concentration of evil in Las Vegas. But you know, right in the midst of Las Vegas, Nevada, are Bill and Heidi Young and a full group of saints that are holding forth God's word, loving people, praying for that place every day. You know what? They're the lights of the world. I come over here. You know, wonderful saints of God. You know, people think of Hawaii as being paradise. Those of you that live here know it's not. You know? But in the midst of this crooked and perverse kingdom, God's people. And sure, we're not perfect, but we do love with the love of God. You know, we might not always be faithful, but man, we do pray. We do hold forth God's word. We do help people when we can help people. You know, now what happens when all those prayers leave? What happens when all that light goes out? You know, it says in 2 Thessalonians that God restrains evil now by the church. What happens when the church is gone? Then begins the book of Revelation. It gets dark. It gets really dark. It's called the Day of Vengeance of our God. It's called the Great Tribulation. The wrath of God. You know, a guy setting himself up as being God and being worshipped of God by everybody upon earth. You know, Revelation. You know, those people, and there's a lot of them, unfortunately, but those Christian people who think that we're right now in the midst of the book of Revelation, I don't know, I don't think they've read the same book I've read. You know, but that's coming when the church is gone. Now, after everything's made right for us at the gathering together, there still will be a restitution of all things. See, everything in the human realm, everything in the spiritual realm is going to be brought to Christ. See, it's going to be made right. And we want to look a little bit at that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We know from working God's word that originally when God created the spiritual realm, that it was created in three parts or three divisions, and that each part of the spiritual realm had an archangel over it, part of it being under the archangel Michael, part of it being under the archangel Gabriel, and a third part under the archangel Lucifer. Lucifer being God's second in command, the bright and morning star. We also know from working God's word that Lucifer rebelled against God. He tried to set himself up as God. And as a result, he was cast out from heaven. And when he fell, he took with him a third of the host of heaven, a third of the angels, which now make up the evil spirit realm. The evil spirit realm that possesses people, that has plagued people. Well, part of the events of the next administration will be dealing with the spiritual realm. Remember, all things which are in heaven and which are on earth and things under the earth are going to be brought to Christ. Currently, Lucifer, now Satan, and his evil spirit realm have yet to be brought to Christ. That's for sure. They're going to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And again, this is addressed to us now. It says, verse 1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? You know, part of the carnality at Corinth was instead of dealing with things amongst the fellowship, they were like suing each other and taking it to the ungodly judges of courts. They're being reproved here for doing that stuff. Verse 2, know ye not that the saints, and who's the saints? That's us. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? You know, we read earlier that when we're gathered together, so shall we ever be with the Lord, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord returns to the earth to judge the world, who's returning with him? We are. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Right? So evidently we're going to participate in the judging of the world. I don't know much more than that, but that's what it says. Verse 3, know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? When will we be involved in judging angels? In the next administration. Because those angels that rebelled against God need to be brought to judgment. They need to be brought to Christ. This is part of the events of the next administration. And the great judgment will be against that fallen archangel, formerly known as Lucifer, now known as the devil. Look at Revelation chapter 20. So the spiritual realm is going to be brought to judgment. In verse 1 of Revelation chapter 20, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Man, I'm looking forward to that. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a season." Then you go down to verse 7. It says, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and did what? Devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and what? Ever." I think if there's any verse of Scripture that perhaps deserves a round of applause, isn't it that one? Just part of our hope. The events of Jesus Christ's return. That Satan and his host will be brought to judgment. They're going to be dealt with. They're going to be taken care of. See? Now, I don't know much more than what we've just read. But things in the spiritual realm are going to be made right. See, well, how about the human realm? Everyone who is a Christian, and that's someone who since the day of Pentecost up until the time of the gathering together has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and believed in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, everyone will be dealt with in the gathering together. We've seen that rather clearly. Well, what about all the other humans that have ever lived? Well, all the other humans that have ever lived will be dealt with in the two resurrections. And what I'm going to present to you is perhaps different than what some of you might have understood in the past, but we're just going to read the scripture for what it says. Because the Bible speaks of two resurrections. The first is recorded in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ." How long? 1,000 years. Remember, we read earlier that Satan's going to be restrained you know, enchained for 1,000 years. Well, during this 1,000 years, it says those that have been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which didn't worship the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, they lived and reigned with Christ during those 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first, what? Resurrection. The first resurrection, according to Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, is of all those who during the time of the great tribulation were martyred. Here it's described as those who were beheaded for the witness of Christ. The great tribulation, and you can go back earlier in the book of Revelation and read about it. You can read about it also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be terrible. And anyone who endeavors to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, is going to be martyred. It's going to be beheaded. Whether this beheading refers to all those that die during that period, or is just a figure of speech of one of the prominent ways that they are going to die. But during that time, people who endeavor to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't receive the mark of the beast, who don't give in, who don't crater, what's going to happen? They're going to die. God promises to them that after their death, the next conscious moment will be this first resurrection. You can see how people with that knowledge would say, okay, I'm not giving in. I'm going to take a stand. You know, you can kill me if you want. And I know that Jesus Christ will cause me to be raised from the dead. That's the first resurrection. And it says, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were what? Finished. This is the first resurrection. It says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It's rather plain. It's rather clear. Now, we're going to read about the second resurrection. The second resurrection, as your notes say, pertains to all that have ever lived and died, except the previously gathered church of God and those previously resurrected in the first resurrection. All of those that have ever lived and died, excepting those two groups, will be made alive. And this second resurrection, also in the Word of God, is called the Great White Throne Judgment. We can read about it in this same chapter. Verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne. This is after that 1,000-year period. Satan's loose for a while. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their what? Works. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of what? Fire. Now, previous to understanding these scriptures, I believe more clearly, I had thought and I had taught that the first resurrection was the resurrection of all the just, and that the second resurrection was the resurrection of all the unjust. Right? I believe now that the first resurrection is of all those that were martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation. All those who stood, who didn't receive the mark of the beast, didn't cave in, they were raised in the first resurrection. The second resurrection is of everybody else. And the second resurrection is of the just and the unjust. Otherwise, why would it say, verse 15, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire? See, in the second resurrection, some are just ones, because as it says here, their name was found in the book of life. But there are others who are unjust ones, whose names are not found in the book of life. They are cast in the lake of fire. Is it clear? You can see it very clearly also from John chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5. In verse 25, it says, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. See, this is referring to the second resurrection that we just read about. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. It says, and shall come forth. Verse 29, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of what? Damnation. This isn't talking about two separate events. This is talking about the same events, that everybody comes from the grave. See, some unto the resurrection of life. Which group is that? The resurrection of the just. See, some unto the resurrection of damnation, the resurrection of the unjust. This all happens at the same time. See, then the Word of God fits together like a hand in a glove. You can read about this also in Luke chapter 14. In verse 14 it says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the what? Just. See, this is not referring to the first resurrection, although those in the first resurrection are just. But those in the first resurrection are all those that are martyred or beheaded during the revelation period. So this has to be referring to the second resurrection. And at the time of the second resurrection, there's two groups that are resurrected, the just and the unjust. Some to the resurrection of life, others to the resurrection of damnation. There's other scriptures that deal with this. You just got to work it and read the Word of God for what it very clearly says. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Can you see how in the events that we've briefly covered tonight, that everything in the spiritual realm is going to be brought to Christ? That everything in the human realm is going to be brought to Christ with the events of the gathering together, the first resurrection, and the event of the second resurrection. See, every human being that's ever lived is going to be brought to Christ in one way or another. See? Now, after this has occurred, where things in heaven, things on earth, even things under the earth, those people who have died, all confess Jesus Christ as Lord, all is brought to Christ. Then comes 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll start reading in verse 24. It says, "Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and what? Power." See, everything's going to be brought to Christ. "He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he, Christ, must reign till he hath put all things under his feet." See, Christ must reign until God hath put all things under Jesus' feet. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. For he, God, hath put all things under his, Jesus' feet. But when he, God, says all things are put under him, Jesus, it is manifested that he, God, is what? Accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, unto Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." You see this? The times of restitution of all things. Everything brought to Christ. And at the conclusion of that administration, Christ takes everything and delivers it back to its rightful owner, who is God. That then begins the final or glory administration. And to conclude tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the final, the seventh administration. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. It says in verse 12, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth," what? "Righteousness." See, the seventh administration involves a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth, what? Righteousness. Because everything's been made right. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is described in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. In verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first," or the former, "heaven and the former earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." The word "sea" here means, it's a figure of speech, meaning wavering, like a sea, or confusion. No more wavering. No more confusion. Why? Everything's made right. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." See, associated with this new heaven and new earth is a new Jerusalem that God is supplying from heaven, a heavenly Jerusalem. Right? Verse 3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." You know, verse 3 just tells us what God's purposes have been since time immemorial, just ever since the beginning of time, is that he always wanted to have a people that would be with him. A people that he could care for, that he could take just wondrous care of, that he could be our God and we could be his people. Look what it says. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and what?
Faithful.
You know, I haven't seen the end of the movie, but I've read the end of the book, and everything comes out good in the end. See, a new Jerusalem. You know, we're not going to take the time tonight, but in the book of Hebrews, there's four references to this city, this new Jerusalem. And if you work these references, it tells us that Old Testament believers looked for this new Jerusalem. Remember, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. It also, in referring to born-again ones, talk about us looking for this new Jerusalem. See? That all of us, all of God's people, will be brought together in this city. And there's a wondrous description of what will remain after the times of restitution of all things, what will remain in the kingdom of God in Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll conclude there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. This section that we're going to look at for many, many years was just veiled to my eyes. But as I worked other parts of the scripture, I started to understand what the next administration is about, just from what the Word of God says, that in the administration of the fullness of times, all things will be gathered together to Christ. Right? That it is the times of restitution of all things. And that after everything has been made right, that the Son takes everything and delivers it back to God so that God might be all in all. Now we're looking at this seventh administration. After everything's been made right, this new Jerusalem. It's described in an awesome way in Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, you could read this, that people back in the first century, when the book of Hebrews was written, had come to the New Jerusalem. Is that right? Had they, back in the first century, come to the New Jerusalem? When does the New Jerusalem come? At the end, in a new heaven and new earth. See? Is there anybody in this administration that has yet to come to the New Jerusalem? No. Hadn't come yet. It's going to come down from heaven after everything's been made right in the new heaven and new earth. See? What's the problem here? Well, there's no problem. There's a wonderful figure of speech. It says in the present, but ye are come. It's the figure of speech heterosis, where tenses are exchanged, where an absolute future reality is stated in the present tense to emphasize the certainty of the future event. To the New Jerusalem. Had they come yet? No. Have any of us come yet? No. But I'll tell you something. Yeah. You can bank on it. That's that figure of speech, heterosis. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now we know from our working of the word that this is the next administration, the seventh administration, after the sixth. This is in the new heaven and new earth. Now let's read who will be present. It says, and to an innumerable company of angels. Well, what angels are going to remain at the time of the New Jerusalem? It's not going to be Satan, right? He's already been cast in the lake of fire, right? It's not going to be his host. They're already taken care of, right? But the two-thirds of the host of heaven here is described as innumerable company of angels. There's still going to be a great group of angels, see, at the time of the New Jerusalem. And to the general assembly. See, the word general assembly, this is the only use of this word in the Bible. It's the Greek word panegyrus. But in the Greek literature, it's used of a festival, of a joyful gathering to celebrate a great victory. Like after the Olympic Games, they would have this great big huge festival, like a national festival, and it was celebrating their gods, and it was also celebrating the victors of the competition. See, in other words, in this New Jerusalem, there's going to be a great big festival in honor, not of gods, but of the one true God. And there also will be those who have been rewarded, the victors, who will celebrate in this great festival. That's this general assembly. And then it says, and church of the firstborn. Who's that talking about? Us. The church of the firstborn. Who's going to be a part of this New Jerusalem? Us. And then it says, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. Who else can be there? Our God, the judge of all. Everything's been judged. And then look what it goes on to say. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Who's that talking about? Those who are resurrected in the first resurrection, those people who are beheaded for the witness of Christ, and those in the second resurrection who are part of the resurrection unto life. Who's going to be there? An innumerable company of angels. The church of the firstborn. God. And all those who are part of the first and second resurrection. The just. And then guess who else is going to be there? Verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I propose to you that what we've just read in these three verses is who remains in the new heaven and the new earth. Who's going to come to the new Jerusalem? This is it. This is it. An innumerable company of angels. Praise the Lord. Man, we can thank some of those guardian angels that blessed us and helped us along the way. Some of those ones that delivered messages. Some of Michael's group that fought for us. Man, it'd be great to see them, won't it? You know, who else can be there? Resurrection of the just. Those part of the first resurrection, those that were martyred for the witness of Christ during the Great Tribulation. See, and all those other believers in the Old Testament, during the Gospel period, that have been believed in, and those that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of the just. And who else is going to be there? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God, who is the judge of all. Man, you talk about a festival. Yeah. Talk about a party. Now, honestly, I don't understand much more of this than what we read tonight. But it's enough.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, it's enough to see those wonderful things that God has promised. That not only are things going to be made right for the church of God, but things are going to be made right in everything. And after our wonderful Lord and Savior has made everything right, he takes it all and delivers it back to God. God sends that new Jerusalem. We're all there in that great big wonderful Panegyrus, that great big festival honoring our God and celebrating throughout eternity his goodness. Boy, we got a lot to look forward to. So Heavenly Father, as we take some time tonight to look at the great hope that you've given us, Father, we rejoice at the knowledge, we rejoice at your goodness. Father, we rejoice at your justice and your great desire and great ability to make everything right so that throughout eternity we can just enjoy our fellowship perfectly with you and enjoy that eternal life. Father, the Word of God you've given us is just so awesome, and we're just so thankful to have the privilege of working it. And Father, if there's other things that we need to know or need to understand or could more clearly, rightly divide, Father, we just desire to grow in our understanding of your word. So Father, I'm thankful for these wonderful saints gathered here, and may this information be edification and a blessing and great learning for all of us. And so we pray for this and also for the fellowships that are in store for us in the days ahead. We pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.